Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning Envy Pro Call. Today is January 16th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. I will admit, I did not upload last week's podcast yet. I haven't had a chance to do that yet. I will make every attempt to do last week's and today's within the next couple days. It's been a little crazy busy. So I will get those done. So definitely thank you for listening live. I appreciate that a lot. Also wanted to let everybody know we do have room available in our class that begins February 10th, our premium installer class. We also have a sales class that we are, I believe, Michelle, do you remember the dates on those, the sales class?
The custom sales class, the one day of 4-hour virtual is on Wednesday, February 12th, and then the 3-day on-site sales training will be February 18th, 19th, and 20th. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Thank you very much. So that is, we have a couple people signed up for that one, but we have room for 3 more people, and that's a pretty intense 3-day, really focusing on presentation, scripting, Scott, but also, water demonstration, but also plumbing assessments and, how to recognize tubing and what to look for and the questions to ask and really how to build a presentation. So that one is filling up as well. So please, if you're interested in that, let us know. And with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with the professionals across the country, or anything that happened that's worthy, or anything we can ask you, or anything we can answer questions for. I think it's almost so routine. I forgot my script, Scott. So anything we can help you with. I love this part of the call. This is what happened last week. It's why we're doing the topic we are this week, because the topic this week was scheduled for last week. But we ended up having a really interesting conversation off of these. So that happens sometimes. So anybody have anything that really stood out this last week? I will tell you, those of you that are doing service and, installs and sales and that type of thing, there, this week, I actually, with the client that I'm working with, I really saw the importance. And we teach people this during our installer class, to check the drain line flow control in a water softener or a filter, to make sure that, number one, it's there, and number two, that it's the right size. And I was working with the client in this week, and we were going through some of the equipment that they're buying from an OEM. They're purchasing them from an OEM, and they had them all lined up, and they had some 13-by-64-inch tanks, or 13-by-54-inch tanks lined up, and I was showing them the DLFCs in them, and of about 5 of them, there were 3 of them that had an incorrect drain line flow control in them. And coincidentally, one of the service calls I ended up going with them on was because of salty water, because it was a 13-inch tank that only had a 2.2 gallon per minute drain line flow control, so there wasn't enough water pressure to backwash and lift the bed and rinse the resin. And these all came from the manufacturer, or from the OEM that way. That's the way they shipped them. And so it just really highlighted the importance of taking that 10 seconds and just looking at that drain line flow control. I mean, it's sometimes you hear the best practices, you teach them. It's crazy when you actually go, oh yeah, that's why you actually do that. You know, it really highlighted why we teach those best practices and why they're, you know, it's important to do it. So, all right. Anybody else have anything before we start our topic here? So we're going to talk about water hardness, and this was prompted because of a post I saw on Water Treatment Pros. That's the Facebook group that I help moderate. There's about, I don't know, a little over 4,000 people on there, and I think it's a really great forum to go in and ask questions and to, you know, if you run across something you've never seen or heard before, it's a great forum. With that many people and as one of the moderators, we try and keep it in check so that we stay respectful and we, you know, we get rid of comments where people are bashing other companies or other products or whatever. But it is the group version of what I try and do with this call, you know, to make a forum where everybody can learn, understanding that we're all in the same industry and we're our goal is out there to help everybody. But every once in a while you have brand new people come on. And they'll ask a question that, to somebody who's been in the industry for almost 3 decades, sounds a little like, oh my God, how do you not know that? You know, it's just this very basic, simple question. And then I have to remind myself that, oh wait, there was once upon a time that I didn't know that. I was coming into the industry and I didn't know that. And then I realized the question is not as simple as it may first seem. And one of the questions that popped out was, at what level of hardness do you recommend a water softener, and why or why not? And I thought, that's kind of interesting. So I'm going to pose that question to you guys. I want to put it out there. At what level of hardness do you recommend a water softener? Anybody recommend water softeners ever? Did I lose you guys?
Scale, you know, if 0 to 3 is considered soft, 3 to 5 slight, 5 to 7 moderate, and industry standards state anything above 7 is hard water. We have a hard time on 7-grain hard water. Our municipalities in our local area at 7, customers don't seem to find the benefit, but we do find benefits with carbon filtration at that point.
Yeah.
I believe anything over 7 is a good application. And we've had customers that wanted them when they had just 4 grains of hardness. They were very accustomed to the feel of soft water, and we're not opposed to putting them in. But it's a much harder, in my opinion, it's a much harder process to go through with the customer to show the benefits at, say, 4 grains.
Yeah. Okay. So Paul says anything over 7. What about anybody else? Scott, what do you do down there in Alabama?
It depends on the customer's issues of what they're looking for. We can range in Alabama anywhere from 22 grains of hardness to 1. Of course, when you get into like 10, 12, like 14 grains of hardness, that's pretty easy. Once you get below 7, like what Paul was saying, it depends on what answers you get when the questions like, what do you got going on with your water, dry skin, dry hair, anybody have skin issues, you find the shower hard to clean. You know, once you get above 7, that's pretty easy. You know, below 7, it would all depend on, you know, what they're looking for, what issues they're having that they're looking to solve.
Yeah. Anybody else? So when I was in sales, you know, in Southeast Michigan. Now, it's interesting because I learned on problem water. You know, that's I came into the industry on problem water. So my sales territory, everybody was on a well. It was pretty much a no-brainer. I mean, if I saw 15 grains of hard, that was not that hard, right? I mean, I think that's kind of the way you guys are a little bit, it sounds like. So, you know, for me, it was sort of the same thing. When I had, if I had a sales appointment, usually a house league, because it wasn't any, I mean, even the small municipality, the community well that supplied the village where my sales territory was, even that was like 26 grains of hardness and 2 parts per million of iron. Plus they polyphosphated it, which made it even more difficult to treat on the city. So, you know, but it was problem water. You had to deal with the problem water. And so when I had those customers that, you know, was on city water where they had 6 to 8 grains of hardness, it sort of like what you said, Paul, unless they had had soft water before and missed the feeling of soft water, I didn't really consider that very hard water. You know, even though the WQA, the Water Quality Association scale, does say, you know, 1 grain or less, 0 to 1 is soft, 1 to 3 is slightly hard, and then when you get up into 7 grains, they consider it hard water, and anything over 10 grains, 10.5 is considered very hard water, you know, but 5 to 7 is moderately hard water, is what they say, and, you know, but it didn't matter. It was what the customers were asking for, and, you know, especially when you are on a well and you have 20 to 30 grains of hardness, 7 grains and no iron doesn't seem that bad at all. And I always found it very difficult to put, you know, to recommend the softener on under 7 grains. So I was sort of the same way. And then when I started Motor Vitality and I started working with clients all over the country, it was pretty eye-opening to me to see how many companies were out there working primarily on municipal water where they only had 5 to 7 grains, and yet they were putting softeners, you know, a lot of times mid plates or a carbon filter and a softener in almost every single home. And I really saw it firsthand when I was working out on Long Island, where it's not uncommon at all. So we put in a softener. It was crazy on Long Island. I mean, there was no, you didn't have to sell it. You didn't have to talk about it. Everybody just, it's like they wanted it. It didn't matter. If they had people, if they had 3 grains of hardness, they were freaking out. They didn't want any of the calcium spotting. They didn't want any of that stuff. It's not uncommon at all to have, 4 or 5 grains of hardness out there, and the customers just demanded a softener. I mean, you didn't even have to suggest it to them. They were telling you, no, we want a softener. We want a softener. And it was kind of crazy on perspective. So I think an awful lot of it has to do with perception, but I think it also, one of the things that I wanted to kind of point out on this call is to remember that it is not our story, right? So I think sometimes we do a disservice to the customer when we see, you know, 6 grain water, and I'm guilty of it myself. Oh, your water's not that bad. You don't necessarily need a water softener here. But when you start to think about it, let's put it in perspective a little bit and talk reality for a second. It is true. 6 grain water is not going to be as bad as 30 grain water, for sure. And we've all seen the damage that 30 grain water can do. But when you pull out a dishwasher owner's manual, and it really doesn't matter which manufacturer, which brand it is, when you pull out a dishwasher owner's manual and you look at when they break it down on how much soap and detergent you're supposed to use, 7 or 8 grains of hardness in the water is going to be 50 to 75% more soap and detergent used. In every instance, every dishwasher owner's manual out there, 5 to 7 grains is going to at least double the amount of soap they use. And that's just in their dishwasher. That doesn't even count the stuff that they use in the shower, the squeegee and the shower spray and the necessity of shampoo and laundry detergent and all of that stuff. But 50 to 75%, even with 5 to 7 grains, and this is not WQA, this is the owner's manuals of everything else. But let's sort of break it down for a minute and also just think about this for a second. I mean, we know that one aspirin tablet weighs approximately 5 grains, right? So if I take a gallon of pure water with absolutely nothing else in it and drop an aspirin tablet in there, I've got about 5 grains of weight in the water. I don't know if you guys are all carrying, your salespeople or you are carrying aspirin in your test kits, but it's just a really powerful demonstration to kind of show this. But if you figure somebody is taking, even if they've got 5 grains of hardness in their water, okay, they're, most showers are going to give you 2 gallons a minute. If you're taking a 10-minute shower, then that's the equivalency of 20. You can take and put in your customer's hand or put in your hand 20 aspirin tablets. For a 10-minute shower, the amount of rock, of dissolved rock that is running through their pipes and through their faucets is equivalent to 20 aspirin tablets there. And that's with 5 grains of hardness in their water. I mean, it's only with 5 grains. You can sort of look, now most of that, it's true, is going to run into the drain, but first off, who only takes 10-minute showers, in teenagers and stuff like that? Some people do. That's probably my shower length. But, teenagers and other people, they stay in there for much longer than 10 minutes. So you multiply that 10 times 4 people in the house, now you got 80 aspirin tablets worth, that much dissolved rock running through the pipes. It's true, most of that's running into the drain. But how long does it take to build that up? I mean, remember, 7,000 grains of hardness equals 1 pound of weight. So 7,000 grains of dissolved rock equals 1 pound. I mean, when you think about a water softener, if it regenerates, if it's got a capacity of, say, 30,000 grains, it's 7 pounds of rock every time, that it has prevented from running through the pipes every time it regenerates. That's 4 pounds of rock every time. I'm so good at math. But when you really stop to think about it, if you can explain that to a customer, it's not necessarily it is our job to educate them. And to find out what their needs are and what their desires are. But I've come to believe that sometimes it's more us telling the customer they don't need something than it is telling them, helping them understand that they could absolutely get a benefit from a softener, even on 5 grains. I mean, you don't have to use the stuff from our industry to demonstrate that either. Like I said, pull up any dishwasher owner's manual, any of them. I bought a little portable ice maker from, for the office, just a little thing to make ice. And with it came a hardness chart. And even that thing said that it told you how often you had to clean it based on putting, if you had water hardness in there, it told you how often you had to run. You could buy this descaler stuff to put in it, and it told you how often and how much of that descaler you had to run through it based on where you lived in the country, based on the water hardness. I mean, it came with a little chart. So it's not – it's interesting. Sometimes we're in the business of fixing the hardness, and yet I think that we tend to talk customers out of them on those scenarios more than other people who make things that are affected by hardness. They know, the ice machine people know that the hardness, even at 5-6 grains, is going to eventually tear up the cappuccino makers, like the big cappuccino makers, they have classes Like, you can watch YouTube videos on how to deal with the hardness. It's a balance of because you need to have a little bit of hardness in the water in order to, you know, for a lot of the coffee to really extract the oils and the flavor. And so they have this huge study. It's a huge balance on how to, take advantage of the hardness that's in the water while keeping the espresso machine or the those really fancy coffee machines. I mean, they have a whole booklet on how to address the water hardness now. I mean, that booklet starts at around 3, 4, 5 grains of hardness. Have you guys ever seen that? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts on this, on what I'm saying here?
Well, on the coffee in itself, you know, there is a certain standard. We, in the commercial side of the business, we do a lot of coffee shops. And we strip it down with RO water, but then we do mineral boosts as well to get them to about 40 to 50 ppm, which is just about 3 grains of hardness for that perfect cup of coffee.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I haven't looked at a dishwasher manual, but I understand exactly what you're saying. Just food for thought, I buy my dishwasher pods from Costco. I don't throw a pod in my dishwasher. I cut them all apart and put them in a jar because I only need 1 tablespoon. And I get 3 washes from 1 pod, but it's a convenience factor for that customer. And that's a huge savings. I'm getting 3 times the bang for my buck on the bucket of pods that I'm buying, and I spend 10 minutes breaking them apart.
Yeah, it is. It is huge. And in fact, I think this is really important when on a side note, the dishwasher manual always talks about using too much soap and etching, right? What it will do to the dishes. So it always says that. And I think that this is really super important. I love using the dishwasher owner's manuals because they offer a ton of credibility. By the way, there are a ton, as I was researching, I just wrote an article about this for Water Conditioning and Purification Magazine. I think it's in this month's issue. I haven't looked yet, but I think it's out. I was looking up a bunch of dishwasher owner's manuals, and there are, used to be Bosch was the only one that did it, but most of the high-end manufacturers now are putting water softeners in their dishwashers, in the high-end ones. They're putting little built-in water softeners on them, and they tell you where to add salt and how much salt to add based on water hardness, getting it all the way down to zero. And on those, they do tell you that if you have soft water on those, they have their specific soaps, soft water soap, that you're supposed to use in the dishwasher because using the pods and anything with the chemical softeners in there will etch up. And it talks about that in every dishwasher owner's manual out there. And I'll tell you what, if you're out there and you're not explaining to the customer, even on well water, that their glasses, if they continue to use the pods, the full amount of the pods, or jet dry, or, you know, filling both cups up completely, if they continue to do all of that, it's going to ruin their dishes. And the only thing customer is going to say, my dishes weren't ruined before, and now they're ruined. What changed? Oh, it must be the water. Well, it was the water, but it's because they're continuing to treat their water chemically when they now have a mechanical water softener in there. And so if you can explain that to the customer, they're going to understand why, if they continue to use more soap, their glasses are getting etched up, and they're not going to blame you. They're going to be appreciative of you pointing that out to them. But, I mean, if you use the tools that are out there, I'd encourage those of you that are thinking, I don't really need to do it on 7-grain water, this is the point where doing a soap flask demo or even just carrying a bottle of aspirin look, it may be that the customers say, I don't really need that. Okay, fine, I get it. There are certain parts of the country, I understand. You know, there are definitely parts of the country where it's a customer awareness and it's different. You know, I'm in an apartment right now where I've got about 7 grains of hardness in the water and I can't put a softener in. You know, there's no way to install it. I do have a reverse osmosis system, but I cannot put a softener in. And so I get it, but man, If I were in a house with 7 grains of hardness, I would 100% have a softener in there because I understand the value, the benefits, even at 7 grains, what that does to help in, you know, in faucets and you know, so it is our job to educate them a little bit. And remember, it's not our story. And so if we don't think that 7 grains is that hard, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we think that 7 grains is that hard. The fact is, 7 grains, according to the WQA, is considered hard water. And anything, you know, 4 to 7 grains is considered moderately hard water. And it's considered that because it does have an impact on our plumbing and dishes and soap usage and skin and hair and everything else that hard water does. So what do you guys think of that? Did you feel lectured? Like, because, you know, as I was thinking about this, I guess when I saw that post, I was sort of the same way, Paul, you and Scott were when I, you know, that post came in. I was like, you know, but then I think about all the places I've been all over the country where, like I said, Long Island is that way for sure. New Jersey's a little bit that way. There are places in Florida where they've got like 3-4 grains of hardness and they put a softener in on every single one. Usually a carbon filter because they got high levels of hardness there too. But I just see that all the time. You know, where on these places where they have what I would consider not that bad of water, I see them doing it. And I think that is a lot of it is up to us and the way we educate the customers. Do you guys agree or disagree or thoughts?
Oh, I agree. I agree with you, and I agree that, you know, there may be an initial cost for that piece of equipment, but your maintenance cost is going to be very low because you're not going to be regenerating
that
often.
That's right. Not much salt at all.
Piece of equipment is not going to cost you a lot of money, and it will benefit you. I had a home, a very old home with galvanized pipe, and I had like 8 grain hard water, and I started digging into my pipes. And just the barnacles from the hardness that builds up inside the pipe, you know, you lose flow rate as well. You know, I do believe that it is benefit at all levels. I do know that there is a mindset out there in our communities, though. Oh, I'm in City Water.
It is.
And then you educate.
Yeah. No, you're right, Paul. And I think I've heard that enough. But I think what ends up happening, and this is what I want, hopefully you'll leave this and your team and you know, and easier said than done sometimes, but be careful when we go into the home to make sure that it's the customer telling us that, not us planting that idea in the customer's mind, because it's not our story, right?
Right. Part of it was my story.
So. Well, you're got your health, absolutely. For yourself. Yep. All right. Final 2 minutes. Final thoughts here. Any questions?
Just thinking about this is with well water. If you want to utilize a UV light, knowing that like water harder than 4 grains per gallon, you have to have a water softener, or it'll scale up over the top of it.
Yeah, I mean that's another prime example, right? And why 4 grains? I mean you're exactly right. That's less than 7. Yeah, there are tons of examples out there. Absolutely. So. All right, guys. Next week, Scott, thanks to Scott, we are going to talk about scripts. You know, what scripts do we use? How much do we use scripts? We're going to talk about the benefit of scripts and, you know, whether we should or shouldn't use them. So thank you, Scott. That was a great topic to start with. And beyond that, everybody be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. And thanks for hopping on, everybody. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Thanks. Bye.